This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Freedom. And I like a woman who can hold her own. And if you fit that description, baby, come with me. Take my hand.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Thought I'd just send a little bit of old school music. That's old school, isn't it, Francis?
Yes, it is.
There's Cedric out there, and then there's Bruce Wilson. See, they won't admit their age, right? So sometimes I might talk to them and ask them, "What's your age?" And they'll tell me, "Oh, you know, I'm pretty young." Well, but then they recognize that song, so that I'm able to tell how old they are. Anyway, good morning. Welcome. I'm glad you could join me. And just many and plenty of things to talk about. And I also want to share with you that there's some good news and bad news. And good news is that the station, K108 here, KWAI, has allowed me or given me permission to take the second hour following the Carol Cox Show. The bad news, you got to stick it out with me another hour. But then I won't hold you to that. And you can also, if you get tired and need to take a break, I'll wait on you. And or you can go to the internet at carolcox.com. Both shows will again be posted at carolcox.com a little later than actually, because if you're listening to the second part, then you won't be able to listen to the first part on the internet. So anyway, it'll go up about 10:15, and hope that you continue to join me. And I'm pretty excited about this whole process. It's the number of people meeting me on the street. I didn't know that people could see me on radio, but apparently they can, and I'm amazed at the number of people that approach me and tell me they listen to this show. Now, I shouldn't say amazed, but I use it loosely. I'm flattered, actually, and I'm happy that when you look back, some of the things that we talk about on the show, I wouldn't call them groundbreaking, but I would call them ballsy or whatever, because if you look back, we talk about we brought to you the issues with the religious issues and the HB 444, and we try to call it like it is, while others will dance around it until it's politically correct or not sensitive or it may affect their candidate or their favorite candidate. We won't play that. I will not lend myself to that. And many of the environmental issues and some of the, also the issues on filing complaints against, some think that we're just stuck in the mud filing on Mufi Hanneman, but if you recall, right on this show, we talk about filing against Mr. Duke Iona, Mr. Norman Sakamoto. So we cross the line, both whether you're Republican, Democrat, whatever. If you're wrong, you're wrong, because it is the public trust that we're concerned with. I don't care how you look, how you're seeing, what your last name is, who you're married to. We have to remind the politicians, because somehow they forget, that all of this business that they're involved in, it's the people's business. And unless we remind them, clearly a lot of them have just simply given up, you know. A lot of them have said to themselves, I'm doing this for you people, but then you people won't have access to me. So we're going to hold them, their feet to the fire here, and we're going to have access whether they talk to us or not, whether they think that this show is too small for them to respond to or come on, but we'll talk about you. Just simply, we'll tell the facts, and you can represent yourself, politicians or whomever, and that's the bottom line. But many of things occurred over the past week. Put together a story on, I was watching one of the stations, and it showed a TV station, and it featured Kirk Caldwell, acting mayor at the Kailua Wastewater Treatment Plant. Now, he's telling us what he's going to do to make this wastewater treatment plant and get it upgraded and improvements. And while saying that, he knew that they were being in conversation with the Hiosh for violations of in the tune of $140,000 for two violations. And it's just blows my mind that, as I've said earlier, that this gentleman, Mr. Kurt Caldwell, would have the audacity to say that he was the manager, city manager, and now the acting mayor, and he's fixed all of these things. And I mean, I thought I was nauseated when I saw that everything that happened. There was Mufi Hanneman's face, but it seems like Caldwell took plays from Hanneman's playbook, or whatever machine is managing Hanneman clearly has gotten hold of Caldwell and is managing Caldwell the same way. If there is a raindrop that falls on a windshield in the middle of the city mall, go there, be on TV, Kurt, because you can tell them what you're going to do and how you're going to prevent rain falling from the sky again. That's how absurd it is. I want to see Kurt Caldwell tell us what he did with the gas cap, for example. Who are the big oil companies that donated to him? How did he get involved in this whole process? You're talking about musical chairs. He made some bad decisions. He politically, I wouldn't follow him for anything, because he was in the House, had a very prominent role there, tried to get in city council, failed there, and whined and moaned and did the same thing that Mufi Hanneman did, complain about Kobayashi and file complaints and had others to file the complaint. He didn't stand up and... he's only acting. Whatever role he's in, apparently it's just acting, because I haven't seen anything that he's produced. And the newspapers touting him as being a successful manager. I don't know if it's the ink that they're sniffing over there or something, but Caldwell does absolutely nothing. We're in a bigger pickle now. We have more sewage spills. We have landfill issues that he was on board. The only thing that came up out of the landfill, for example, was the fact that they expanded it. They're in violation, by the way. They've exceeded the height limits. So that presents a problem. So if Caldwell was an honest man, this isn't promoting anyone or knocking him down. This is reality, folks. It cost us when we stand there and watch these characters stand and present themselves as successful managers when they are failing, and the ticker is still going up, the cash register is still ringing loud in our pockets, while they're putting up their pretty faces and their pretty shirts on and telling us that I'm stopping short of saying I'm Mufi's minion. Or Mufi's person. There's a machine here that frightens me, and I deal with it firsthand. Two examples. Bill Brennan. I asked approximately 2.5 weeks ago for documents relating to the scales and the cost to the public. Okay, I'll get that to you, Carol. It's been 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks now, not even a word from him. And he, of all people, did work in the media and know the importance and timeliness. But this is the behavior. Sandra Sugisi, she works for the mayor. Her role there, she's confused, I think, is that she's supposed to be the consumer, customer service person, whatever that role is. But I filed requests with her, and she violates the law. I didn't bother to file a complaint yet, but this is the behavior. There's a video of Mufi Hanneman at the fundraiser in Pittsburgh, and I requested a copy of that video from Mr. Hanneman. He was staying in the William Penn Hotel. There's a video of his presence, and he's talking about how difficult it is as the hardest part of campaigning is the fundraising. And yet, he, too, refused. So the law means nothing to these people, absolutely nothing. Anyway, that's just one of the many things I want to talk about. But if you would, and you'd like to call in, 524-1080, 524-1080. Anything's on the table, if you like. And it's politics, And then hopefully, when you decide to vote, that's something you decide on your own. Don't be influenced. What I'm doing is giving you many things that you're probably too busy to go out and seek them out yourself. But don't let me influence or say to you who you should vote for. What I hope to do is give you information that you can come to a good decision, and then we can have a better city. That's what this is about. He's religious and he's not. I don't care what religion you are. I don't really care. That's your business. It becomes problematic when not crossing the lines, as some say, of church and state. When you intentionally are influenced by beliefs, and I underscore the term belief. That's all they are, a set of beliefs. And you start to project them on others, and you use it. The vehicle is you get in government for all people, and then you proceed to invoke or force upon them your ways, or you be steered by your religious beliefs. That's what this is about. So a lot of you out there, I see some of you. I saw something the other day, for example. I was at Zippy's. I know you're going to say I'm taking after my friend Rod Tam, but I like Zippy's, and it's a good place. I think anybody can go there and sit and talk, and they're very cordial people, and Zippy's is a place. But I'm sitting there trying to stay healthy and ease my mind and do a little reading and float on the internet and what have you, and here comes Pee Wee Herman on steroids. Cam Pavasso, and he thrusts his hand while we're talking. I'm sitting with two other gentlemen. You know who I am? I'm Cam Pavasso. I'm running against Danny Noy. I don't believe in abortions. I don't believe in same sex. And how dare you to interfere with a man's hot bowl of oatmeal? He just don't know how long I waited to get those oatmeal. It was a busy day, and I had to sit and endure about his beliefs. That's when you go too far. But if you look at this guy, just take a visual of Pee Wee Herman and then Cam Cavasso, and you look at them. The only thing you don't get is but he is really obnoxious. And I mean, no shame. Tell me about what you're going to do about taxes. What are you going to do about senior citizen issues? What are you going to do about the ADA, affordable homes? Those things that affect people, not what you believe about same sex and invading and interfering in the lives of others. If you truly believe that the person that whom you pray to, or the deity, or whatever it is, has the greatest power, leave it up to them, or it, or she, or whatever, to make that decision. Clearly, there's thousands of decisions and beliefs to be had, and you get one guy on steroids, a Pee Wee Herman on steroids, Cam Cavasso, who thrusts his beliefs on you. How is it that you have many beliefs, many choices, but you have to choose one choice from this one person? That's what this is about. It's just mind-boggling that people would lend themselves and have the guts to run out, draw up flyers, and then have the support of others that would spend their money on it. We're headed for some terrible times if this is the process that we're going to allow ourselves to engage in or be influenced by. So anyway, again, 524-1080, and I will say to you that if we had a way of prosecuting 35% of the cases of fraud within government, we would have less taxes in this city. We wouldn't need cost overruns. if we were to go just to the Sand Island Wastewater Treatment Plant, it's a long subject, but there's change orders and fraud, and when the use of ferric chloride in the sewage treatment plant, you see there's a process over there using UV lights, and the UV lights are conflicting with the heavy use a dosage of ferric chloride, which blackens the water, which prevents the UV lights from killing the bacteria. But if you follow now, who has the biggest deal in selling this material? BEI. At one time now, there was another vendor that was providing it, but somehow, somewhere down the road, we got booted out. And I don't know what the current change is. It may change like the weather, but imagine the price went up and the bulbs burn out because this is ferric chloride, and therefore it presents a problem and conflicts and corrodes the lights. So we're spending a large amount of money on the lights, proving them to be useless, rendering them to be useless or ineffective. And then we have the Synagrow plant right there, having fires and spills and what have you, and that's $35 million project. And then we have the issues of illnesses that is projected on, or the hazards from the gases that are impacting the city workers. If we were to just start there, there's about $50 million being wasted and squandered. Just right there. And so what are we dealing with? They tell us, though, it's about the Lord and blessings and what have you, and I'm a good mayor, and I'm an acting mayor, and I was a manager. Let's start there. Let's look at this wastewater issue in total, and the millions that are spent in just responding to wastewater spills. And that becomes a problem. So again, and we have senior citizens, and I'm getting there, I'm getting older, and I have property, and there's a threat that I myself will be impacted by this abuse and this reckless behavior, or criminal behavior, while bringing friends in and giving them the money. And you and I are paying for it, and we're over here discussing, well, you know, Mufi is a good guy, he's a good manager, the newspapers say that he's good, and da-da-da. But the reality is, his management is his thing. He'd be bankrupt, and he wouldn't be a non-entity if he was in private business, folks. His greatest claim, I guess, where he's actually handled the dough was at the bakery that he claimed on that flyer that he worked at. That's probably his expertise in handling the dough. But right now, the process is continuing. If you look at the number of people, I have a complaint before the City Ethics Commission, and we'll talk about that, and again, how that in itself costs the taxpayers money. Kali, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I have I'm kind of curious if you've heard about this, but I understand, I understand is that there are plans underway to bring some of that sludge from the sewage waste plant into Wahiwa.
Mm-hmm.
And where there's a plan to create a composting business.
Mm-hmm.
Using food waste and sewage sludge. I'm not sure that the residents in Wahiwa are even aware of this. What do you know?
Do you have your radio on?
Yes.
Turn it down some.
Okay.
I can hear you twice.
Okay.
Yeah, you there?
Yeah.
Oh, Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
Well, you're like me. You like to hear yourself. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm curious about whether the residents in Wahiwa are aware that there's a project underway to bring, you know, that you were talking about the waste treatment place.
Mm-hmm.
That there's some plans to bring some of that sludge from the waste treatment plant into Wahiwa.
Mm-hmm.
To do a composting operation. Have you heard about that?
I haven't heard about it, but I can say that something stinks about it, literally, and the people in Wahiwa should be quite concerned.
Yeah, I'm wondering how it is that they're not, because it seems to me it would be a major impact on the community, because it's, what I saw was that it was going to be a mixture of sludge and food waste and
mm-hmm.
green waste.
Mm-hmm. Well,
could you go look into that too?
Yeah, we can look.
Or maybe the people in Wahiwa might know something about it and they'll call in.
Well, I have one word for that. Unison. If the people in Waimanalo would share with the people in Wahiwa, they'll understand that it's the stench was so bad it filled the valley. And the busy trucks and the beep and beep and the water quality and all of those things and the potential for fires. Because if I'm the person that handles the green waste, if I'm not mistaken, Hawaiian Earth Products, or who's now Clyde Conashiro's company, Honolulu Disposal, a friend of Hanneman, who Hanneman worked for but never declared, lobbied for him for the landfill up in Kunia. But those things don't matter. But yeah, we'll look into that, and that would, because the concern is if it's coming from Senegro or from the Sand Island Treatment Plant, where is it going to be processed, and how the pathogens and the microbes and all of those things present a problem. Groundwater leaching and also runoff. Not to mention the dust that would be generated. But again, that's in a community probably going to situate it where people can't fend for themselves. But anyway,
I'm hoping that the Wahiwa people are listening, and it might stir their curiosity to go and look and see what really is going on.
Yeah.
Into their neighborhood.
Well, let's see if they if there's somebody in Wahiwa listening. Can you give us a call, 524-1080, if you've heard anything about this proposal, where it's located, where it's potentially going to be situated, and share your opinion if you think you would welcome this facility or this process. 524-1080. So, anything else? Hello. Well, anyway, again, that I'm hoping that does not happen or occur up there in Wahiwa, because if it happens, you are not going to be the comfortable community that you once were or once enjoyed, because it's a stench, and this is human waste that you are dealing with, number one. And let's just take EcoFeeds, for example, same company. If you recall, in Waianae, they had problems with the smell and flies and all of those things. So this becomes a problem in the fecal matter. In Unison, they weren't using the sludge from the sand island or the waste. They were using green waste and food waste scraps from the hotels and what have you. And that's an interesting situation in itself. The newspapers or the rest of the media should, instead of telling us about how great these guys are managers, delve into that and you'll find that this is Hanneman's relationships. These people, when the green waste, I don't know if you're aware of this, but when the green waste is picked up, we pay for that, and it's delivered to the facility owned by a private entity, and who bought it. And if there are plastic bags, mixed in, and that gets an extra charge. So millions are spent on that process. Once again, did it go really to go out to a bigger bid? And I don't trust the bid process here when you see that it was investigated and the bid was, everything complied. No one is going to admit that they received a call from Hanneman or the city managers, as I have been informed by some of the workers there, that this actually takes place. Upper management calls and tell them what is going to go on. It's never written. And by the way, what happens is the person that generally takes the Hawaiian waste system, the shipping out of trash, for example, they can claim that nothing went wrong there. Everything complied with the procurement process. But there's one flaw. The people that were there behind the scenes advising Todd Oppo and the others actually ended up with the contract, but nothing was wrong. So, you know, you get to tailor the contract the way you want to, and you hand it under the table in the dark, and the management and the procurement officer goes through the process and awards the contract, and it, on face value, looks great. But they don't tell you that the bulk of the material, the information and the workout occurred in a back room. And I believe that it is wrong regardless. If you get involved in writing a proposal and writing the specs on a particular process that you're going to seek a contract for eventually, that you be not be permitted. Unless everyone had an opportunity, every company, every interested party had an opportunity to have their input and be considered, and their information be considered. But that's what happens here in this city. And, you know, we talk about potholes. And I'm talking about these things to try and because the rhetoric that I hear out here is that, oh, it's about politics and you don't like Hanneman. And it's, no, I don't like anybody that causes me to become nervous about my future and about my neighbors who now are having to dig deeper in their pockets, who's retired on a certain income and a set investment. And here we are now, having to dig and scrape for that and become creative, and the people in Kalihi have to go out and borrow money to pay waste. That's absurd. And yet, we're told these are good managers. And all it is the finger pointing. I didn't have any problem. That was Rami Cocciola's problem. That was Rami did that, and on and on. When there should be an army of legislators and an army of city councilmen and an army of ex-mayors and mayors or whomever out there saying, stop, enough is enough. When was the last time you heard a person go to jail that worked for the city or the state for defrauding the public's trust? Now, I know a lot of them, you see some there's out at the airport, and I mean, but those are the dumber crooks, the ones who make the money and go off to Vegas and, you know, go buy a Maserati or whatever, clearly. But even then, the lady that was stealing the parking fee money, the parking lot money, the parking money, and all of that, she gets rehired. So, no shame, and we somehow, we're missing the boat. It pulls in, it loads up with money, and it goes away. You look at the boat itself out there in Kalailoa. How much did we spend on that? And they estimated some absurd amount of money that was spent for each passenger that did use a process or did use a service. Why we never speak of that? Why don't we see this being reflected? And a lot of the people in the media worked there in the media and covered some of those stories, and now they're working for Hanneman or working for the administration or working for Caldwell. So something is wrong here, And the sad part about it is that you, the taxpayer, you, the people who own the government, this isn't about Tea Party, this isn't about anything, it's about a party that's disruptive, loud, and you generally would call the police at come 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock, and they're still blaring music and disruptive and causing problems and breaking windows and what have you, vandalizing. You'd have no problem getting on the phone and calling the police. Why don't we call the police here? So we need enforcement. We need cleaning of the house. And I believe that I would, me personally, I've already voted, and I voted for anything that's new. I figured I'd have a better chance of dealing with a person who came to do good and is not equipped with these little games, and they're becoming minions of Hanneman and others. And you take out in Holly Eva. You got, this is the way it works. I step down, you step in. The gentleman there is working for, I can't think of his name now, he's campaigning out there, and he works for Hanneman in the service of where they give the community benefit packages. And I have a complaint filed against that office and Patty Teruya and abuse of funds and what have you, and again, the city Ethics Commission drags its feet, won't take an action. This is a clear one. It's clear, the documents are there, and how many hundreds of thousands of dollars of waste are there? At least $2 million, supposedly, in the benefits package. And if you look to see some of those projects that were funded, you'd have to scratch your head and go, something's wrong here. But that's what we are struggling with here in this city. We're not really dealing with good managers. We're dealing with people who have learned to be influenced and steered by a system that, I don't know if it's as if it's a current just flowing, water running, and they just jump in and be a part of it or what, but I saw that Ann Kobayashi the other day stands up, speaks out, and all that could be said in the end was that, well, she gave money to Neil Abercrombie. And this is how this system works, you see. You can't live a normal life, and there may be questions about that. There may be. But if we're going to cross that line and say that Ann Kobayashi can't donate to a particular campaign person, and yes, she can be, one can say that she can be possibly abusive and using information to influence, but if that is true, then that would be consistent with the norm here. Because just in today's paper, I was astounded and shocked that the paper would even print it. Someone pointed out that two of the editorial people that nominated, the paper nominated Hanneman and Iona, they're on Hanneman's campaign staff or whatever your committee. And I've pointed those things out in the past, but again, if that's the case, if you look back, you go back and look at Hanneman's donations, you'll find that Hanneman received donations from the Honolulu Advertiser, employees there. And if you look, you'll see how much he spent on the actual advertising, campaign ads in the paper. So does that mean the newspaper won't do a good story or do an honest story, a factual story, because they're afraid that he's going to lose, right? If he's going to lose any information. So that entire process, when you start pointing the fingers, and Hanneman also pulled that stunt with me when we broke the story about the news on him and the fundraiser that he didn't report and what have you. So what does he do? He called the station, and the stations folds in. They give in, and they don't want to do any more stories about Mufi Hanuman or anything. They won't associate his name with these things. So they win because they don't want to lose the revenue. So if you're going to point fingers, but how does one get away with that? We are intelligent people. We are intelligent voters. We are impacted taxpayers. How do we, you and me, allow this to continue? Is there something wrong with us? Is it our upbringing? Have we become so docile that they can cause us to roll over and tickle our belly and we become complacent? Good morning, Alice. How are you?
Good morning. This is Alice Greenwood. You know, one of my biggest concern right now, because it's almost time for Paiolo, which is the emergency shelter, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's, the time is coming where it's almost up. There's talk around the Waianae Coast about leaving it, let it go, giving it maybe another 5 years. My concern is there an audit? How has it been doing? What type of measures are they taking to see that the place has been running the right way? Have they evaluated any of the old people that have been in that that place?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my biggest concern. For it to continue, have they audited the place? Have they spoken to the old residents
mm-hmm.
to find out what its mission of what it's supposed to have been doing?
Mm-hmm.
Especially for the people that live there.
Mm-hmm. I see.
That is my biggest concern right now. I'll call you up later on for some other issues.
Anytime. As I say, we've expanded the hour, and we'll be going till 10. And any of you out there that got any issues or you feel like you're being defrauded or Ponzi scheme, call up and share with us. That's what this will be about. I think we're making a difference. If nothing else, we put the information out there, and what you do with it is.
Well, my other biggest issue right now, maybe I should state it right now then, is that we just got through an LUC meeting, and it had to do with Tropic Land.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my biggest concern is there were pohakus that were taken, and it was stressed to us that, they had the blessings, you know, and they asked permission. And, you know, my biggest problem is the ones that did this, did they really evaluate the history of that place? Did they really care of how the Pohaku had kept that mountain range as it has? You know, even though you may live in Waianae, the thing is the mana of the place. You know, they showed us many of the pictures, especially the Pohaku that was done over at Walmart. When I looked at the pictures and everything, it felt like the Pohaku was just crying.
Uh-huh.
That they want to go back home. You know, maybe the guy said, it was given free, it was blessed and everything. But just like us and our children, will we just turn around and bless our children and you can have them? You know, there's sometimes meaning to places.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is, well, it's just one of those things. And, you know, when they talk about our history of the demigods, well, you know, it's just some people said so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just taking lightly the culture parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then to turn around and say, our people, you know, these people, they have parties and they just drink up and they just throw rubbish all over the place and everything. That's how these guys are. Another insult to the cultural aspect of people living in Waianae.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what has been tugging at me, because we had the meeting on Thursday and Friday about the LUC, on the LUC, and Friday was just a mind blower to hear those kind of things. Waianae, we do have our pride, but don't turn around and use us And that's what I'm really getting at. Yeah, you want your traffic lab. Yeah, you want your light industrial park. Then turn around and criticize us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we stand on the idea of protection, environmental protection, and cultural sites.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Now, have you been approached by the city on this tropic land? How is the city Department of Planning and Permitting behaving in this manner?
Well, at the LUC, was just right now, was just a person that was running the place that gave all his impressions of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Probably November 3rd, then we're going to hear the city and the state side.
But have the city approached the community and it's seeking information? Have they interviewed any of you or
no,
the city Department of Planning and Permitting?
The interview that was done by the so-called professionals when it had to do with evaluating the land, archaeological sites and all that, didn't go out to the community, the most immediate community that's affecting the area.
Mm-hmm.
They went to forest offices that don't even live in that area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we'll talk about that in the coming weeks because I know that it's before the Land Use Commission now and they're going to be rendering an opinion, a
yes.
decision. So maybe next week if we get some more specifics on it and see. And
okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Alice.
Uh-huh.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Yeah, this is absolutely. I'm going to take a real quick break. I'll be right back.
Aloha and namaste. My name is Dr. Rajkumar. I am the president of Gandhi International Institute for Peace. We would like to invite you to celebrate the birthday of one of the world's great leaders, Mahatma Gandhi. The events include multicultural dances, music by Royal Hawaiian Band, and interfaith discussion for world peace. The event starts on October 2nd, 10 a.m. to noon, outside of Honolulu Zoo by the Gandhi statue. Please join us that day. Feel free to bring your towel, mat, beach chair, glasses, and wear white attire for the event. And enjoy the multicultural dances, music, and beautiful speeches from the social leaders and interfaith leaders. For volunteers and donations, please contact Rajkumar at 808-372-1444 and check out our website www.gandhianpeace.com and email at rkumarhi@yahoo.com. Mahalo.
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, and good morning, Marcia. Are you there? Hello? Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning. Got a question, statement, comment?
Yeah. I just wonder where the city council men are on these issues. You know, the developers and all these other people traipse through the council people's offices regularly, and so far I have not heard you say where the councilman for Leeward Coast and Waikele, the Waikele Coast, I haven't heard you say where their city council people are on these two issues. Do you know?
On which ones now the...
I can't hear you there.
Which one?
Well, for the Waikele Cove would be Nestor Garcia. Mm-hmm. And for the leeward coast, it would be Todd or Poe.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to definitely listen to the second hour of that.
Okay, good.
You must be bugging me. No. You must have a bug on me or something, because that is exactly what I'll be talking about.
Oh, good.
Some of that and what have you. And so if you want to join in the next hour, give me about 10 minutes. We'll be back and call back and we'll talk. I will be talking about that and the exit that Mr. Oppo has taken and donations and how big business is influencing. Donations are nothing more than buy money, apparently, and I have a specific case to lay out and show. Hands off. The bigger the donations, the farther the politicians stay away from regulating.
Yeah. So. Well, but, you know, I guess it comes back to, we haven't talked about this on the air,
mm-hmm.
but I just want to put this idea out. It probably won't go anywhere because people hold on to power. Honolulu is the most dynamic metropolitan area in the Pacific.
Yeah.
Well, and yet it only has 9 city council people.
Mm-hmm.
That is too much power
in
too little hands.
So, okay, give me a call back in the next hour here. We're going to be, and we're running out of time on this one, so we'll be back.
Bye.
Alrighty, CarolCox.com, CarolCox.com.
Aloha, John Nolan here to tell you about my show. What is the John Nolan Show? Well, we cover small business, politics, entertainment, sports, and wellness. From Monday through Friday, 2 to 3 p.m., right here on K108, 1080 a.m. on your dial. So don't forget the John Nolan Show right here on K108, Monday through Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. every day. Aloha.
The John Nolan Show is sponsored by Lennox Meadows, LLC, Recycling and Sustainability, and No Foods of Hawaii. Say yes to no.
Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. The second half. That sounds funny. The second half. Okay. Thank you for again joining us. And again, 524-1080 if you have a comment or anything bothering you or you'd like to share with the public out there. And again, I want to make sure that a lot of the senior citizens out there have met with some fraud and fraudulent practices, like the man that was taking senior citizens' money and claiming he was going to cut the trees and whatever. So if you've got situations like that, give us a call and see if we can help, and we'll try, and I'll call it Scam Busters. Because we just can't afford it. It's not good for the community, and it's not good for anybody that have worked with their hard-earned money and then turn around and have it stolen from them. And then in this case, with the tree issue, he takes the money and you still got the tree stuck up there. So you got to pay double, and it must be painful. So if you have situations like that, don't be reluctant or hesitant to call us. And again, you can pick all of this up at CarolCox.com, CarolCox.com. Anyway, back on track, what I was going to be talking about with the earlier call that Marsha asked about the city council people and what have you. Now, back in January of this year, I did a show here, talked about the Waikele Caves, and that is involving the Ford Island Ventures, or Hunt Building Company, and on and on. And there's some very ugly things were allowed to occur under this Hanneman administration and also the Caldwell administration, and basically hands off. And what they're doing, and you may have seen the commercials on TV about this advertising and storage and facilities and what have you. And I filed three complaints over the last 2.5 years asking a simple act to be committed or done. And that is to send an inspector to this facility in Waikele from the Department of Planning and Permitting, as well as the State Health Department, Solid and Hazardous Waste, because I documented many activities that were not consistent with the land use ordinances and the rules. So, now, keep in mind, the site was known as the Caves. It's a former military munition storage area for zoning purposes. It was originally classified as military F1, but after it was abandoned by the military and no longer used for munitions, it was automatically rezoned or classified as P2, or Preservation 2, General Preservation District. That's real simple, and I gleaned that information from the Department of Planning and Permitting office files that they had written and rendered an opinion. So these are experts, not just my opinion. And there are rules that clearly state, should land be removed from either the state designated conservation district or from federal jurisdiction, all uses, structures, and development standards shall be as specified for the P2 General Preservation District. Therefore, the land is zoned P2, and that was confirmed by DPP in a January 7th, 2008 letter. This is painful, watching this unfold when, as the caller pointed out, what happened to the city council people? What happened? And we're going to talk about all of that, but the DPP's January 7th letter, 2008, also states that the Central Oahu Sustainable Communities Plan designates Waikele Gulch as part of a Central Oahu Open Space Network, and it's preserved for scenic and recreational values. So, what happened? Three complaints, and I just spoke with David Tenoy, and it's not just the politicians. In order to get crooked behavior to occur, you've got to have someone, a gatekeeper. And you've got to have one that is, has the expertise in it, because he could get you in trouble as much as he can keep you out of trouble. So if you make a misstep. So this gentleman, David Tenoy, it was handpicked by Mufi Hanneman to come in and take over as deputy in the Department of Planning and Permitting. And he then is promoted now to the chief or the director of Department of Planning and Permitting. He originally worked in the Corporation Council, the city lawyer's office. We'll call them lawyers. I don't see any counseling going on. But that entire process has been one bag of tricks and five and six different lies. And just recently, Friday, after I filed complaints and asked to have inspectors go there and inspect it, what does he tell me? He will now, based on what I'm just telling him, and I've sent him pictures and letters, but based on what I'm now telling him, he will send an inspector. But initially, they drug their feet and didn't go and told me I gave them the wrong TMK. Then they would send an inspector. And on and on, and now we're back at... then he said, we got to get an opinion from the Corporation Council. Well, they got the Corporation Council opinion some 6 months ago, but he forgot to tell me. But it wasn't clear what he was told, or the opinion that was rendered. So what does he tell me? He says, well, we're going to send another inspector out there. So here's the deal. Why is he doing this? And you can pick up this story. I'm writing at length about it and sharing my emails from him and to him about this. There's a greater sinister act, and we all, both on the right side, the left side, the liberal, the conservative, we are allowing things to happen. We're allowing politicians to dictate our lives. And it's a cheap price. What we give up is not worth the money. And so, for example, now Hanneman got $5,000 from Ford Island Ventures for this election for his run to governor. Now also, Neil Abercrombie has received a substantial and a handsome amount of money from this company, Ford Island Ventures. And you will be able to go back and look at the records and see the report on both Hanneman and Abercrombie that $5,000 were given by Woody L. Hunt, who is the CEO and director of basically a subsidiary but a parent company, which is Hunt Building Corporation, which is limited out there in Ever Beach. They're going to build near the transit station there. Hunt is involved in that. Hunt has the Fluor Corporation, Federal Services, and they're all companies that fold back and forth. So how is it that for years now the public has been denied access to the Waikele Gulch area? And this gentleman has donated money. He's also donated money to Maisie Hirono. I sent an email to Maisie, but no response. I also requested a comment from Mr. Abercrombie's camp. And I'm wanting to know, do you give him his money back? Because and open this facility up and bring this facility into compliance. Nestor Garcia, where is he? He's abroad now. It's on some trip. I don't know if it's in China or Timbuktu, but wherever he is, he's not taking care of our problems. Then we got Ryan Yamani. Unfortunately, nobody would run against him, but you're talking about useless. I've had dealings with him, and I'm a constituent of his, and I'm talking about a cold fish. Whatever Calvin says goes. Ryan Yamani is—he's working in the health services business and whatever, but also trying to maintain a job as a representative. So he's milking the system because he doesn't do anything; he just vote whatever they tell him to vote. So anyway, Marcia, you've joined me back again.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, what do you have to share with me on this one?
Well, just listening. If they donate in the name of Ford Island, whatever. Then it looks totally different than what it really is. And I would think that that's the idea of the cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
So that if anybody. It's, what do they call it, plausible deniability?
Yeah.
All of them can say, well, what's wrong with the Ford Island, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So it's only going to, you have to look deeper to know what the issue is. So your response from all of them will be just that.
I hope they are a little more articulate with me, because I don't ascribe or subscribe to that treatment.
That is the reason that it was donated in that name.
Mm-hmm.
It gives everybody plausible deniability. You know?
Right. Well,
and Nestor should be back soon. He went to China. He represented the sister cities from the United States to Shanghai to the expo.
Mm-hmm.
And so he should be back soon. But he was the chair for the Council of Parks. So since this issue is the Waikele Caves are in his district, and I'm not telling you anything out of school.
Mm-hmm.
I went to his webpage and looked. So it's there. I mean, you just type in his name and pull it up, and it's there.
Right.
But he was chair. And there's nothing about this Waikele Cove,
right.
Which I thought was strange that there was no mention of it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, you don't have to have any rocket science. It's all right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole area of Waikele was totally contaminated, where they were storing nuclear weapons and other things during the war. And so it seems to me that it, just building there was wrong to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, one of the problems here is that, you take, for example, I provided each council member a packet on this matter. All the specifics and all the letters that were written by the DPP, and they ignored me, every single councilman or woman. And then I also presented and sat down and went over it personally, in person, with Donovan De La Cruz. And like a hot potato, I guess he felt that this wouldn't get him in office if he touched it, because of, you know, if they're donating $5,000 to Mufi, and they donated a lot to Neil, for Friends of Neil's committee in earlier years for Congress, and then Maisie. So I'm concerned, and the question I ask is, are these political donations, or is it protection money?
Now, again, I don't know any more than what I've read. I think it is the fact that it's the same amount to each candidate is more like covering your bases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll make sure whoever gets in, we have our same amount to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Covering our bases.
But the greater statement is that apparently you don't give money to those that are not going to be able to help you. They would have to be in a position to help you.
Well, isn't that what the... All of them that you mentioned are in position to help,
mm-hmm.
should they win.
Right.
Now, back to Tanoi.
Mm-hmm.
I think that for the listeners who do not understand the way all of this works, the director of the department has to be okayed by the city council. They have to go through all the hearings and whatnot. But the deputies do not. And that's where the mayor loaded up all of the deputy positions. So that in the case of, like this case where Mr. Ng was gone, his deputy gets to take the job.
Mm-hmm.
And that that has happened over and over again if you look at who the deputies are, because they don't have to be interviewed by the city council.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Right, get me confirmed. But now, I want to make sure that, one, before I get distracted, and now there is also a state angle here. And the state angle is that under the solid and hazardous waste management and the rules of that area, in order to function and serve businesses and manufacture and all of those, they have to come into compliance with state law. Well, they've rented this canyon out to many businesses.
Mm-hmm.
I filed with complaints with the health department. They claim everything was fine, but didn't know that everything that I had pointed out was out there. But they would go and investigate. But then had to call me back and ask me, where was it? Where was this place located? Well, if you can assure me that everything is fine and you don't know where it is and you got to get directions to it, then either that's a lie or you're covering for someone. But here's the thing I don't want to forget, and that is this process. He's also, Woody L. Hunt is a major donor to the Republican Party and Republican committees and PACs and what have you. So he covers all bases.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so what's puzzling is that a lot of his focus is on government contracts. So maybe they're charging us a little too much on these contracts if they got that kind of money to be getting the contracts and then turn around and give it back to the politicians for protection. So, you know, even the Lingle and the Ionas and all of those, they've benefited from this donation or this protection money. And I'd like to ask them to give it back and go and take back the Waikele Canyon and open it up to open spaces, come into compliance, give us more area. And it might be, as you say, contamination. I don't know. I haven't seen the reports, but God forbid that there is waste over there that they have not cleaned up. And it could be possible that this is why they don't want to open it up to the public, because then it would be revealing of the contaminants, of the potential contaminants in that area. So, you know, there's some big questions. But again, Ms. Woody L. Hunt, and any of you, go to the state campaign reporting website, and you will see for yourself that Hanneman has received $5,000, Abercrombie has received $5,000, but also received donations prior to this. And Maisie Hirano, and I'm sure she would never do anything, because Maisie don't want to get her hands dirty or piss anybody off. So she just wanted to be Girl Friday and nothing. But meantime, look what we're losing. Taxes goes up. We don't have just a many of things. And the cost is increasing. And we're crowding our parks. And here's an opportunity, if this place is open to the public, educational facilities could be there for kids to go and do outdoor education, environmental education, because this canyon lends itself to that.
Well, have you called the Sierra Club?
No, I haven't called them. They can call me. You got my number. Have them to call me.
It just seems, just based on what you just said, that they ought to be partners in this investigation.
Yeah. Well, if you have
just
contact.
You and that thought. My thought also is, if nobody knows this exists and somebody does have claims ownership to it, then that's some property tax we're not getting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the rental, all kinds of things could go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's many of things. The protection concerns that I have is that has it been fully investigated and sampled for contaminants?
Uh-huh.
And we do know that nuclear weapons were stored there, but there were also other wastes associated with
uh-huh.
the storage of that. And so are they basically blocking off the one little area and using it because it's safe, but the real areas that would be open to the public, they don't want to open it up because it would disclose I got some static on there. On you there.
I do too.
Yeah, but anyway, that's the problem. So. I'm going to be asking many questions about this, and I think
I would like to hear where Mr. Caldwell is on this issue, since he is acting mayor and managing director for the last couple of years. Surely he should know about this.
Now, you know, like I say, I've asked everybody, and I'm asking even Rod Tam. I've asked him to look into this, and I'm hoping that he gets some time to ask about it. Because there's nobody innocent in this act. No one, not a. They all represent us, and they've all failed us. And when you can't get an answer from any of them, I'm thinking about going joining. Todd Oppo at Disneyland and work with Goofy, because nothing else is happening. You know, I mean, it's a better paying job. Isn't that funny? You can work with the councilmen who have great responsibility and our future in its hand, and it's just a wasteland. But you can go and make more money and be more successful working with Goofy and Minnie.
Yeah.
That's a big statement.
It is.
Maybe it's time for us to have a roll call and call everybody out like muster, like they used to do us in the Army. Get out here, 1 a.m. You know, if you got to come in your underwear, get out here. We've had problems. See, that's that military.
Well, but what you're asking does take them down to their underwear. None of them. Can hide. You sent them all this material. Everybody knows it is Nestor Garcia's district.
Mm-hmm.
He was the chair of the parks for the city council. He needs to comment on this.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to see what committee handles it, and then I'll ask questions. But again, it's difficult to continue and to have David Tenoy sitting there, and if he will do this, and the willingness to lie, and you know, I've had dealings with him on the Rusty situation. I don't know if many people out there know that. It was my efforts and my organization, along with Animal Advocates and Pam Davis and others, that caused Rusty to be at the zoo, because Rusty was destined for Coolore Ranch.
Uh-huh.
And I filed an action and forced him. And in that process, we had to file an action, and the action had come only because Tenoy. They destroyed documents, they provided false information, and in turn, when and moved, Rusty decided to take it to the zoo and made the issue moot. So, you know, I had to pay $200 to appeal that before the land board, that decision to take it to Coolore. But we were successful. They didn't take it to Coolore because it would have been a roadside zoo and Rusty would be dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if many people know that the real story of Rusty, and that's the problem here. We don't have any accountability, and they all rush off to China and go on these trips, and now I'm learning a lot of these trips is that they're going to see their maker. They're going to see the guy that's going to bribe them. That's what they're getting something out of it personally. You know, a lot of them went to the mainland to look at the hole in the ground to dump the trash. There, and look at that. They had airline tickets, wine and dine. They went over there to look. Why do you need to get on an airplane to go look in a hole and have someone to describe to you how they're going to back a truck up and dump trash in a hole? Why wouldn't you think that the city council would have met with the native people there? So that speaks on their attitude toward native issues here.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it brings a lot of questions into play, and speaks to their character. And who are they really serving? Are they serving the Hunts? And are they serving, if you look at Hanneman's campaign, a lot of money, and Abercrombie, a lot of money coming from the outside. What do they care about Hawaii?
Yeah.
You know, so, but we never see these people, you see. That's the other thing. I could see if they were active and knew these people and share with us their opinion why they wanted to donate money in large sums to get this guy in office. I could understand that, but there's something more sinister. So, anyway.
I think you're right.
Yeah, well, we're going to find out, and I don't know, maybe it's not the right place to talk about it on Sunday morning, but you can raise hell on Sunday, too, I guess. That's the way you can get rid of it, you know.
Well, I read that the Christians, while they may not listen to you on Sunday morning, are well organized and ready to take over after this next election. So we shall see what that amounts to.
Well, I guess I'll be the first they take out back and dunk and tar and roast because I've spoken out against them. So if my show ends abruptly, then you know the angels came and took me south.
Yes.
because it bears worth watching. When you have patriotism, religion, and fanaticism all mix in one entity, one body, one human brain, and then you make the mistake of giving them something in common and call themselves whatever and give them white t-shirts and red t-shirts and then tell them a symbol, you have a problem.
Yes.
Because none of it was managed, and there's no checks and balances in their system, in them as individuals, because they wouldn't lend themselves. They would appreciate the Bible, they would appreciate the content of the Bible, the teachings of the Bible, and they would understand that it's about, the Bible is for the individual to first learn to live by those rules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the covenants and what have you, and the tenets. Nothing to do with individuals, and somehow then they don't like the Obamas, and they don't like the Democrats, and then the Democrats don't like it. And it's like, wow, well, we can see what this is going to result in. Nonsense. And that's what we have. We'll have chaos. At the current pace we're going, I'm concerned. I think about the Dark Ages when they hunted witches, you know, and persecuted people for believing in certain religions or practicing?
Well, but we've had witch hunts all along. If you look at who is in the prison right here, you know, it's the Hawaiians, the Filipinos, in America, it's the blacks and the Puerto Ricans and the Mexicans. Even that bunch that's upset about the Muslims, you look at them and they're all white. Upset about the brown people, the Muslims, the Mexicans, and they talk about the immigrants, but they only talk about the brown immigrants. They don't talk about the immigrants from England and France and Canada. They don't. Just the brown immigrants. So it's still this witch hunt.
Yeah, well, there's exclusion, and so what happens, I mean, you go to Santa Monica, at one time the largest population of illegal aliens that were there were people from Ireland, serving a lot of nannies and what have you. They come over here, and so it was no secret. I'm reluctant to talk about it because it pains me, but I'll tell a story that I experienced as a special agent in Chicago. One of my roles were to serve in international investigations on the import of wildlife and what have you. And occasionally I would go to the O'Hare stand and when they process people in. And everything that had a brown skin, even if it was a toy monkey, or whatever, anything brown, United States Customs agents would pull them out of line and in turn take them in the back and do cavity searches, women, children, men. And in this, off the same plane, they would wave through people that were not of color. Now, I, at that time, I'm a trained special agent. I carried a gun and a badge. And inside, it was so painful that day watching that, that I had to leave and just get away from the place, because that was the clearest open practice of racism that I had seen ever. Because how do you know who's coming to bomb us? How do you know who's smuggling drugs? How do you know? You can say you profile them. But I, as a special agent, watched this process unfold and saw it repeat itself over and over and over. And I tell you, terrorists, McVeigh, the Ku Klux Klan, people, they're vicious. And so watching that, and that speaks to what the bigger problem is. And that's why I'm leery of people. My religious beliefs are mine, and I keep them to myself. And I don't believe that I have a right to go and influence on others what I think and what I feel and tell them, you're going to hell if you don't believe what I believe. Well, join this group and hang in here with us, because we need to teach them a lesson. They're killing the children, you know. They're murdering the kids, and they're going to let this world turn into homosexuals and da 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 da. You know, well, something's wrong there. That's hate mongering.
It is.
But anyway, I'm going to let you go, and
okay, dear.
And thank you. I appreciate the time.
Bye.
So, what is this circle that we have? Is it something that we need to be worried about? I think so, and the Hunt situation and the Ford Island Ventures, and if you look at some of the contracts, there's other companies, and there's this big deal about bringing new jobs into the state when we bring in. But look at the entities that, if you really pay close attention, Actis Land Lease, they brought in new builders in here, but was there an actual local company that got the main contract? Hunt Building, Fluor Federal Services, Ford Island Ventures. How do the people come, and when our politicians tell us that we're going to get these things to bring jobs, why can't we find local companies with the main contracts? Dick Pacific and others and what have you. So there's a lot to be asked. And when we talk about $5 billion in the rail, I think one should just dismiss that entire cost. And if you think they're being exact on what it's going to cost, then you're living, you must be smoking medical marijuana or something, because there's no way in this system, how flawed it is, that it would happen. And in speaking of jobs, now, I'm trying to get information out here to you, and I'd like to get your opinion on this. Should a candidate for office have his or her campaign material printed in out of country or outsourced? I'd like to hear from you on that, 524-1080, but here's a situation. Mufi Hanneman, some of his posters and banners and the big truck that he has, they were made in the Philippines. They were provided by Plant Research Corporation individual, Christopher Andrews. I spoke to Carol Andrews, one of the main owners, and she confirmed that, yes, flyers or banners were made in the Philippines and provided to Mufi Hanneman. Now, this is the same Mufi Hanneman that boasts the support of unions. Now, I'm not going to fight the unions' battles, and I'm not going to be antagonistic and tell them who they should trust and shouldn't. But I have that question burning inside of me. where is your dignity if someone is willing to beg you for your support, manipulate you, and you stand out there and commit your union membership and name to Hanneman, the candidate, who is using banners and other campaign materials made by non-union people and out of country and out of sourcing. Not a lot of money, but is the principle. So I'd like to know some of the union out there. What do you think about this? And along with that, there's another, Andrew Jamila, who's running for senator out in Waimanalo. He's tied in with the media, the union here, and strong relationship, and then, you know, he too had bumper stickers and banners made in the Philippines. Yet they say there are four jobs, local jobs, and also, if this is the beginning, what will the bigger picture be when they get in office? Anyway, John, good morning. How are you?
Hey, my friend, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Turn your radio down. Turn your radio down.
God, I turned it the wrong way. Hey, in fact, I'm sitting right in front of a Luke Hanneman sign here. Hey, I'm looking for the parade route over here in Waipio. You know, have you found out where that parade route is today for the kids?
No, I think that it's going to end up at the, somewhere I saw that it was going to end up at the Patsy Mean Park, the Kauka Boulevard or something. If you stood over,
street, but I don't see any parade yet. Maybe it still hasn't started yet. Anyway, you know that rail job? I was going to tell you about the rail job. You were just mentioning about the job. You remember that article they had on the news? Hello?
Yes, I'm here. Go ahead.
You know that article, the news report they had last Thursday about they're going to create 100,000 jobs, rail will create 100,000 jobs?
Mm-hmm.
That is so bogus. It's not funny. That's way over exaggerated. The amount of jobs that's going to be created, according to the University of Hawaii economic, let's see, it's called the, wait a minute, where is it? UH Economic Research Organization. They found that it's only going to be 350 jobs created for the first 6.5 miles of the 20 mile rail.
Mm-hmm.
So only 350. For the first 6.5 miles. And then after that, 2,000 jobs at the peak of construction during 2014. But of that, only 1,000 will be local jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Will be imported in specialists for building rail because we don't know how to build rail here.
Yeah.
So it would be high-tech jobs for us.
Well, isn't that funny? We don't know how to build railroads, but we're being railroaded.
All the materials have to come in, too, from someplace else. So we're going to make a diamond material.
And who's going to make... Yeah, exactly. We're laborers, that's what they're training us for. That's why they don't put emphasis on our schools. That's right. You know, they figure anything we build or accept or modify, bring in the brains from outside and leave us uneducated and don't emphasize the education values. And
but the scariest thing about this 100,000 jobs, which is kind of exaggerated, is the real reason they came up with that figure, is because they're going to plan, they're planning right now to build condos in high density, vertical high rises all around the rail.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have this massive amount of apartment buildings all around the rail, all outside people going to own them.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's going to be affordable for us guys, we're all going to have to subsidize it again with another tax. And this place is going to be like another, you know, big metropolitan area with a lot of crime and people. It's going to be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
If they succeed in that plan. That's because they need to justify the rail and they have to get ridership.
Oh,
and they ain't going to do it the way it's planned right now because there's no parking.
Well, it's no coincidence that Disney...
Who the heck is going to ride the rail?
Remember, originally it was going to be an aquarium out at Ko'olina, and all of that had an influence with Hanneman and that relationship there. That's what dictated it. Nobody's willing to stand up and speak out the truth. And then they were talking about the second city, and they were going to have great shopping, and they wanted to start over there so that people can go there and shop. That's the game that's being played. But anyway, I got another caller, John, and thank you for joining. Good morning, Jane.
Carol, we just wanted to say we really appreciate your bringing up all these things that we don't hear very often.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like Abercrombie is way ahead in the polls.
Yeah.
But I don't know where he stands on the rail.
He supported it, and I, you know, I don't know. I haven't spoken with him at length. I did invite him on the show way back, but he had to go to a Father's Day function or something. But, again, I've dealt with Mr. Abercrombie, and he's been very good in that sense. And my only concern is why I'm speaking. I'm concerned I'm going too far with the Hanneman, but he just keep on giving. He's like Christmas, you know. He just keep giving. His behavior and the manipulation. I have not found the manipulation behind the scenes that anyone can duplicate what Hanneman has. There's nothing, not a stone unturned that you won't find some special influence or something underneath with Hanneman.
He's just totally political. But I think Abercrombie is not, and he supports a lot of the environmental issues.
Yeah. I be careful. I don't want to sound as if I'm giving him the go. But mine is specific. I want to ask him, you know, give it back that $5,000 to Woody Hunt, and if you get to be governor, open this thing up and sample that soil. And $5,000 is a kiss in the bucket to what we're losing as a community.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's asking too much. And I'd like to ask that of Hanneman, maybe, you know. But
yes, we have a right to know if we have to vote for these people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you.
Well, thanks a lot for your help.
Anytime.
Bye.
This is something, and unfortunately, there are many, like you see Ryan Yamani, there's this Michelle Kadani. You know, there are some other issues that we have to understand something. Whoever wins governor, there are some issues that come down the road with that. If whoever wins, and if Hanabusa wins, for example, who gets replaced, who is appointed by Neil LaMuffy to fill Hanabusa's position? There could be Kamaki Kanahele. There could be Todd Apple was even, I understand, and this is, again, there was some talk amongst some of the politicians who knows things had shared with me that it was potentially, even he would be considered, Todd Apple, being pushed to. So there would be a nomination factor or appointing factor with this. So if Neil gets in, we got to know who they're going to appoint. And I've just given up on the people in Mililani. That has become a party of sorts. The neighborhood board, they're rubber stampers. They sit there. And Ryan Yamani, who's my state representative, I'd gone to him regarding Rex Johnson. And it was shameful. I've never, ever witnessed such lame behavior in any one politician ever. So next year, it's my goal to share in the next election to hope to bring out that this gentleman is, if Calvin Say has one vote, he can guarantee claim that he has two votes with Yamani. Yamani is never going to say no to anyone. He's just going along to get along. And we don't need people like that. It's costing us money. And we just need to throw him to the wind. But anyway, the this entire issue, reflecting back, Hanneman had 6 years to resolve the landfill issue. What did he struggle to do? To get it expanded. And then that expansion will expire. So we're still left, and he's a good manager. What's the criteria for being a good manager? Having people that shovel you protection money, is that a good manager? Kurt Caldwell, what has he done? Alternative processes to handle our waste, put a third boiler up, and again, I'm being rolled over by some of this, the willingness and the ability of Caldwell and others. They speak, if you pay attention when they talk about the third boiler, converting waste to energy. Let's see, let's have one of them tell us the exact amount of money that we get from conversion of waste to energy. Remember, HECO is not going to buy your energy at top dollar at peak hour because they're trying to make money. So they're pulling our legs with this, and they all learn to tell us about it. And then that is one thing, you do get a straight answer. I don't, you know, I watched Abercrombie the other day at UH on Olelo. And I've known him now 20 years, and I've watched him, when I say known him, interacting in an official capacity as well as, and he's consistent. And I'm sure he has his relationships too, but they just don't seem to have that criminal element. Hanneman has the fellows program. I noticed Billy Canoy endorsed him. Of course he's going to endorse him. He went to his fellows program. And this whole process, so it's who you know, and by joining in, you're guaranteed to get a job or something. So I'm looking at all of these things, and I'm really concerned that we, as a community, we're being played, and we simply, you take, for example, go over to and look at Ekaika Anderson. There is trouble brewing there in that young man. He's arrogant, he's cocky when you speak to him, he's paying homage to Mufi Hanneman. That's his hero. So my suggestion is to the community out there that he serves, you better watch him. You have the makings of another corrupt politician. I see him now, and it's like, and when he speaks to you, he's arrogant, and he doesn't want to listen. And when you give him facts, he brushes them off because it's only what he's going to say, and he supports Hanneman. And you just watch his behavior. But anyway, thank you, and I hope to have many shows coming with other sources and good information. So thank you for joining carolcox.com, carolcox.com, and tell a friend to join in. Take care.
for listening, and tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.